Welcome to the Love is the Answer podcast. Do you dream of the world being a better place? Do you wonder what you can do about it? Sweet! That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Let's change the world by transforming ourselves. Greetings, beings of love. I'm having a great day today. I was able to take a really long walk with my dog out in nature this morning and got some yoga done this afternoon. And now I'm sitting down to see what's going to come out of my mouth to share with you guys. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine and I were having a conversation just about the stuff going on in our lives, and I used an example to explain how I've made sense of some things that I've struggled with. And she said, oh my gosh, that's great. Please include that in your podcast. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk a little bit about the stories that we use to make sense of our lives, our experiences, and tools that we could use, I guess, to rewrite our stories or to learn to think about them in a different way. So part of my story for a long time was the perception that I was worthless or unlovable. And that came from feeling like no one understood me. I've shared on here before, not to harp on this, but that I was bullied a lot. And times when I tried to connect with family members or friends, I felt ridiculed, shamed, for sharing my thoughts and feelings. So being worthless and unlovable became my story, and it guided the way that I interacted with the world. It seemed like it was ridiculous to try to take risks to have close friendships or dating relationships, because if the truth was that I was worthless and unlovable, why take the risk? So instead, I just tried to engage in a lot of behavior to manage the situation as best as I could. So trying to anticipate what people wanted from me and people please, and sometimes just be quiet and withdrawn, sort of wait to get a sense of a situation before really speaking up or weighing in, as to not create any waves or increase the likelihood that I could get rejected or excluded. And because I was engaging that behavior all the time, I really didn't have any sense who I was, because I was just trying to mold myself into what I thought the situation or the people around me expected me to be. As I've shared before, I started to realize that the story that I'd been telling myself wasn't true because I started to have some experiences that contradicted it. And at first, it was really easy to explain those experiences away and to assume that they were the exceptions rather than the rule. And I've talked before about how we have the tendency to twist new experiences or explain them away in order to maintain our beliefs. So I won't go into that again now. But in spite of being able to start taking risks and developing more connections with people, I still found that my connections often didn't last for a very long time. And I don't mean that they only lasted weeks or months. I had some relationships that lasted for many, many years. But I would find that there would become a certain point where we just grew apart, or some unexpected conflict would come up and they would end abruptly. And it was perplexing to me why it was that I had fewer really long-standing relationships in my life compared to some people that I had around me. I have a number of friends who have just had the same core group of friends since elementary school. And I've had some contact with relationships that have lasted a long time like that, but even many of those haven't really lasted. So I still couldn't really explain why my experience was different from someone else, and it left me feeling bad. And again, questioning, like, is there something wrong with me? Why is my experience different from someone else's? So sometime in the last year, I was listening to a TED Talk on the NPR TED Radio Hour about Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey. And while I was listening to it, I thought to myself, holy shit, I'm living a hero's journey. Okay, so you might be thinking, who does this chick think she is? I thought the same thing a little bit when I first started to think about this. And I don't necessarily mean that somebody's going to write an epic novel about my life. But I do think that it can be helpful to think about some of our experiences according to archetypes, such as the hero's journey. The psychologist Carl Jung used the concept of archetypes in his theory. He believed that there are certain universal mythic characters or archetypes that exist within the collective unconscious of people. To be honest, I have not studied Jung's archetypes. I think it's an interesting concept more from a spiritual perspective than as a psychological theory, personally. More in the sense that this collective unconscious is sort of what I refer to as like the collective energy of universal love that is the source of each of our individual souls. If you're new to the podcast and I'm starting to lose you here, I do recommend that you go back to the introductory episode, episode 0, to hear a little bit about what my general perspective is. I'm not by any means trying to sell these theories. I just find it interesting to explore these concepts and use them as food for thought. And if they fit, great. And if they don't, that's cool. Two of Jung's major archetypes are the self and the shadow. He described the self as the unification of consciousness and unconsciousness in a person. And he distinguished that from the ego, which was considered the center of consciousness. The self, in contrast, is the center of the total personality, which includes both consciousness and unconsciousness. The shadow archetype represents unconsciousness, or the aspects of ourselves that we want to remain unknown. Jung discussed many other types of archetypes, including family archetypes such as the father, mother, or child, and story archetypes, including the hero, the magician, and the trickster. I'll do my best to include some links that will direct you to resources to explore these archetypes further. Jung proposed that each person is influenced by several different archetypes, but may have one archetype that is primary in their life. Joseph Campbell specifically explored the hero archetype in quite a bit of detail. The TED Talk that I listened to described the different stages of the hero archetype. Interestingly, George Lucas, who became friends with Joseph Campbell, used the hero's journey as the guideline for Star Wars. And you can identify the different steps of the hero's journey in the movie. The TED Talk that I listened to talked all about that. So I'll add a link to that for anyone who's interested in hearing more. The part of the hero's journey that really resonated with me when I was listening to that podcast was the discussion of how there are helpers and mentors that the hero can have along the way, but that often they're really going through this journey by themselves. The helper, the mentor, can only provide assistance for short periods of time. I found it really helpful in understanding some of the experiences of my journey. I've moved around and I've changed jobs quite a bit, including relocating to other places, and that's caused a lot of change in my relationships to mentors and friends and other helpers in my life. And that's all added to sort of a feeling of being alone throughout this journey. Often when we stay in one place for a long time, it's much easier to stay connected. And I've definitely felt very guided or driven to move around and to try a lot of different experiences along the way. So as a consequence of losing a lot of connections naturally when you move, or just over time, or as you grow and change and become no longer compatible with people that you used to have a lot in common with. It contributed to feelings of isolation and loneliness. There were times where it was easy for me to have pity for myself and to want to complain about life being harder because I didn't have the same supports that other people had. And again, at times, it led me to have some judgments of myself, to question, why am I not able to maintain closer connections to people over time and distance like other people do? And honestly, I do think that I've done that a reasonable amount. I still have some people who I consider close friends that, like many people, we don't talk very often, but when we do, it's as though no time has passed, and I treasure those relationships. But your day-to-day experience can still be kind of lonely when your relationships have transitioned a lot and you're not in contact with those people very often. Sometimes we go through points in time where we've just let go of or moved on from a significant number of people in our life, and we haven't really found the people that we're going to connect with next. We're just sitting in spaciousness in our life. I believe that there's a lot of value in spaciousness. I think that it's definitely better to allow ourselves to let go of the things that are no longer meant for us, even if we don't know what else is coming, and to allow that space to be created. There have been times where the loneliness that was created by letting go of relationships that no longer served me motivated me to go outside of my comfort zone to try new things that allowed me to then connect with people who were better fit for me at the time. Whereas if I held on to those relationships that were no longer fitting or no longer feeling right, I might have been much less motivated to find those new connections. From fall of last year to the spring of this year, I had another one of these transitions where relationship after relationship seemed to be falling away. And even though I had met and connected with a few new people, even those individuals seemed to be only sticking around for a very short period of time. It was during that period of time when I felt pretty sad and lonely that I remembered this idea of the hero's journey, and that perhaps that archetype fits my story at least somewhat. For those of you who are Harry Potter fans, I'll share another example of this. And if you are in the process of reading the books or plan to read the books in the future and don't know what happens throughout the entire series, I will put in the show notes when this section is over so that this is not a major spoiler. So Harry Potter is a great example of a hero on the hero's journey. He loses his parents early on and his godfather, Sirius Black, and even Dumbledore. I remember having conversations with other Harry Potter fans after Dumbledore died at the end of book 6. And a lot of them were speculating that he wasn't really dead. Understanding the idea of the hero's journey, I feel like Dumbledore had to die in order for Harry Potter to become the wizard that he was meant to be. He was described as the boy who lived from the very start of the story. And if Dumbledore was around helping him to ultimately defeat Voldemort, then all of his accomplishments could have been credited at least in part to Dumbledore's guidance. In order for him to transcend the legendary Dumbledore, Dumbledore had to die in the process, and Harry had to lose him as his mentor. When I decided to think of this hero's journey archetype applying to me, I found it really comforting and actually empowering. Rather than seeing myself as this poor, sorry victim of life who is meant to be lonely or alone, it helped me to see myself more as I really am, a very powerful and strong person. Someone who is not dependent on the help or assistance of other people in order to face the challenges of life. even though my experiences in life remained the exact same, this perceptual shift led me to see myself in a completely different light. Some people may say, well, you're just lying to yourself to make yourself feel better about your situation. I guess that's one way that you could look at it. The reality is that we're talking about subjective perception. So if you have a choice to choose between a subjective perception that makes you feel badly about yourself or paints you in a negative light, or one that makes you feel kind of badass and more motivated to continue forward through difficult times, is there any reason why you wouldn't pick the more positive perspective? Either way, there's no definitive, objective truth. Archetypes aren't the only kind of perceptual shift that we can make in order to change our story or change our perception of our story to improve our ability to accept our life circumstances. I'm someone who believes in a soul that reincarnates, and I do believe that our soul makes a life plan before we incarnate, including certain challenges to help us to learn those lessons along the way. I personally find that perspective really helpful in not falling into a victim mindset or a helpless mindset when life proves to be difficult, which it is for all of us at times. Some people may say, and some people have said, well, you're just deluding yourself. You don't know if any of that is true. And that's absolutely correct. I do not know if my perspective is true. What I do know is that if I am deluded, I am the happiest, most well-functioning deluded person on the planet. Part of the way that I make sense of my life experiences is that I look at what I went through in my childhood, adolescence, and even young adulthood. When I look back at those events and I think about the worthlessness, anxiety, and depression that I dealt with as a consequence of the things that I experienced, I see how valuable that was in what I'm doing right now. I know what it's like to feel worthless. And all of the steps in trying to overcome it and having a setback or feeling like I failed and feeling like I'll never figure out a solution and I should just accept my limitations. I know all of the steps of that journey very intimately. And I can speak to specific skills and strategies that I've used to help myself in all of those situations. And that doesn't mean that I understand what it's like for everybody else, because my journey is unique to me and everyone else's is going to be specific and unique to them. But there are a lot of things that I experience that I know are generalizable to others. I find it helpful to believe, and I do believe this, that the things that I experienced in my early life were things that I chose to experience. Not that I consciously chose to experience at the moment when they were happening, but that my soul planned for me to experience in order for me to be able to learn the very things that I am teaching you right now. And yes, I've learned a lot through formal education, through majoring in psychology and as an undergrad and getting a PhD in clinical psychology in graduate school. The knowledge that I've gained and the experiences working with clients have been a very invaluable part of my learning process as well. So I'm grateful for everything that I went through, for every tear I shed, for every moment of pain and loneliness, because without them, I also wouldn't have experienced the incredible power of human resilience. I have faith in the ability of any individual to improve their life, because I've been able to improve my life beyond my wildest dreams. I know that our perception of ourselves as limited is one of the biggest enemies to change that we can face. I have a quote on my office wall, which I may have mentioned somewhere on here or one of the videos that I've done at some point, but I'm going to say it again because it's so good. It's actually by Joel Osteen, and it is, The first place we lose the battle is in our own thinking. If you think it's permanent, then it's permanent. If you think you've reached your limits, then you have. If you think you'll never get well, then you won't. You have to change your thinking. You need to see everything that's holding you back, every obstacle, every limitation, as only temporary. I find myself pointing to that quote several times a week when working with clients. And we talk about how if they perceive themselves as unable to do something, it's very unlikely that they'll be able to achieve it, not because they actually can't, but because they won't even try. And it's not to say that there aren't some things in life where we're going to be limited in certain ways. But I would rather face real life limitations than to limit myself through my own beliefs. Your take action item is to think about your own self-limiting beliefs and really spend some time to explore this. Maybe even journal and write them down. In fact, I would recommend it. And after spending a while, maybe coming back to it here and there over the next week or so, pick one of those self-limiting beliefs and really start to examine it. You can choose to use the strategy of imagining that you were giving feedback or advice to a friend. So if you had a friend who experienced the same self-limiting belief, what would you say to them? Because chances are you wouldn't say, yep, you're right, you're really limited in that way. And that might help you to start to look at yourself and that belief from a different perspective. Really give it some thought. Maybe even talk about it with some close family members or friends. And identify if there's some other explanation, some other way that you can understand yourself, your experiences, your challenges. One of the tricks that I've learned over time is picking the strategies that work and sticking with them. So even if I might have some doubt about that strategy, if in reality it reliably helps me, then I'm going to keep using it. If your old perception and your new perception that you're trying to cultivate both have facts that support them, and it could maybe even be a coin toss in terms of the probability that either one is correct, think about which one's going to help you to function. There's absolutely no way in the world that my soul definitely planned out my experiences. And that's why I experienced the first couple decades of my life to be quite challenging. I can never have an answer to that question. But it serves me to believe that there is a higher purpose. It helps me to feel safer and more protected in the world. It helps me to feel that things happen for a reason. It helps me to believe that there's value in suffering. It doesn't mean I'm going to go out and foolishly choose to enter into a whole bunch of suffering just because I hope that there's going to be some value at the other end of it. But given that we do suffer, given that we do experience challenges, perhaps finding value in that suffering and in those challenges can serve us to heal and to move forward. I want to thank everyone who's contacted me saying that they tried to write a review on iTunes, but found that they weren't able to hit send and get it submitted. I'm still in the process of contacting people to try to figure out what the problem is. And if I find a solution that I can let you know about, I will definitely share it on here. Thanks once again to everyone who is subscribing. If when you're listening to any of these episodes, you think, oh my gosh, so-and-so would totally benefit from hearing this, please consider sharing it with them. As always, please contact me with any feedback that you have or topics that you would like me to address. My goal is really to serve the listeners, and so I make guesses about what topics might be helpful, but it would be so fantastic to get some more feedback from all of you And maybe that's just, hey, the stuff that you're talking about is resonating perfectly. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. That would be awesome. But if not, if you have other suggestions or, hey, could you talk more about this thing that you touched on a little bit here or there, that's all great feedback for me to have. So please email me at Suzanne, which is S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, at loveistheanswer.one. Thanks so much for your time and attention. Wishing you peace and love today and every day.